We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
From KMOX Sports.
The Young swings and lifts a high fly ball.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
This is Sports Open Line.
It's a grand slam!
Touchdown! Kansas City!
On America's Sports Voice.
Yes!
KMOX.
Here we go on a Wednesday night. Welcome into the program. My name's Matt Pauly. Have you for not quite 2 hours this evening. We'll take you to about 7:45, leading you into St. Louis University basketball. Late night at Chaffetz Arena as the Billikens are facing the Mighty Tigers of Tennessee State this evening. Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr. on the call. Again, coverage about a little bit after 7:45. 7:47 if you want the exact time for St. Louis Billikens pregame here on KMOX. We got a lot going on the show tonight. Coming up in about a half hour, we're going to be joined by Ben Arnett, TV guy in Columbia. We're going to talk all things Missouri with him after the Tigers got a great win yesterday. They went to Wichita State, and they come away with the victory. Wichita State's not top 25 team. They're not even the same Wichita State that they were when they were going on all those runs that we were seeing, but they're still a really good team, and more importantly, true road game, tough place to play, and Missouri finds a way to win in overtime. They do it without Isaiah Mosley as well. He missed another game, and they find a way to win. So we'll talk Missouri basketball, a little bit of Missouri football, but mostly Missouri basketball with Ben Arnett at 6:35 is when he is scheduled to join us. And then coming up next hour, Carter Chapley, our guy, Carter Chapley. He is going to join us at about 7:20. We'll talk Billikens basketball with him. We'll also talk a little St. Louis Cardinals baseball with him. Speaking of the Cardinals, so I was a little surprised that this didn't blow up a little bit more. And it might have been because of the tweet description. So Mike Maddux, the former Cardinals pitching coach, now the Texas Rangers pitching coach, he went on MLB Network Radio with Chris Mad Dog Russo. So it was Mad Dog talking to Mad Dog. Mad Dog Squared is what they should have called it. And they did all the normal, hey, you got a new job, tell us why you want to go there stuff. But Mad Dog asked him about what happened to Ryan Helsley in the ninth inning of game one against the Phillies. And Mad Dog asked him, Mad Dog Russo asked Mad Dog Maddux about the decision to pull Quintana when they pulled Quintana in that game. And I found the answers to those questions to be very interesting. So we are going to play that for you coming up in our next segment. And I think you might find it interesting as well, because look, I could right now, right at this moment, I could do a segment about that game, about the ninth inning, about Quintana being pulled, and I could get the phone lines to just blow up on me. People still want to talk about that. People are still upset about the way things went down, and people are still looking for someone to blame. Looking for, you know, there's got to be a scapegoat, darn it, people say. So that it's still something, and I think you're going to be very interested to hear the comments made by Maddux. And I saw it last night on Twitter. It was like 12:30 in the morning when I saw it. I immediately sent it to Matt Pajeski, whose shift for the night had already ended because it was past midnight. But I immediately sent it to him and said, we got to use this on Sports Open Line coming up tomorrow. I'm a little bit surprised. It's when I listened to it, I thought it was one of those things that would blow up a little bit, and it didn't. So we'll play it for you, and you'll be able to take your own take on it. But I think you'll certainly find that to be interesting. Blues off again tonight, back at tomorrow against Carolina. Had a full practice earlier today. We'll hear from Coach Craig Berube. He spoke with the media earlier today. The big news is it looks very likely that Robert Thomas is going to play tomorrow. I was joking around with Kevin Wheeler when we were doing, when we were doing Sports an hour ago at 5:15. The arc of this Thomas injury has been interesting because he suffers the injury against Florida. He misses the end of that game plus the overtime period. Then he misses the Dallas game. And before the Dallas game, Ryan O'Reilly's talking about how big of a loss it is. And it just feels like this might be an extended absence. This isn't good. And then they have an optional practice yesterday and he skates. So it's like, okay, oh, well, maybe they dodged a bullet a bit. Maybe it's not as bad as you thought it was going to be. Probably still not going to play on Thursday, but he should be back sooner than later. And then we get to today, and he's participating in practice today, and it really feels like he's going to be able to play in this game coming up tomorrow. So that's good news. That's good news all the way around for the Blues, as they'll match up against a pretty good Carolina team coming up tomorrow evening. As always, if you want to join us, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. If you want to tweet at me, you can do that as well, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. If you follow me on Twitter and you're on Twitter at 12:30 in the morning and I see random comments made by former Cardinals pitching coach Mike Maddox on MLB Network, you can see my retweet and you can see it right away, or you can just wait 18 hours and we can play it for you like we're going to do here on Sports Open Line. Again, we are taking you to St. Louis University Billiken basketball tonight. Billiken's looking for a bounce back after that tough loss against Auburn on Sunday. Their third straight game against Tigers tonight. They played the Paul Quinn Tigers. They played the Auburn Tigers, and now they are going to play the mighty, mighty Tennessee State Tigers. I think we can all agree. We'd love to see them play the Missouri Tigers, but that's not something that's probably going to happen anytime in the relatively near future. We will talk Missouri basketball later on this hour after their big win against Wichita State, but up next, we'll get that Mike Maddox audio for you, what he had to say to Chris Mad Dog Radio on MLB Network about what happened in Game 1 against the Phillies. Interesting comments made by the now former Cardinals pitching coach. We'll hear those coming up in just a moment. It's Sports Open Line on a Wednesday here on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Open Line does continue here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. As always, if you want to chime in on anything we're talking about, you can do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can also tweet at me at Matt Pauly on air. I'm about to play you some interesting audio from now former Cardinals pitching coach Mike Maddux. Coming up in our next segment, we're not going to have a whole lot of time to kind of digest this and reflect on it, as we're going to talk Missouri basketball with Ben Arnett coming up at 6:35 in our next segment. So listen into this audio, and if you've got any thoughts on it, I'd love for you to text in 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Might read some of those texts after we hear this audio. But I thought it was really interesting. So just to get you all figured out on where this is coming from, Mike Maddux is now the Texas Rangers pitching coach. He appeared on MLB Network. He appeared with Chris Mad Dog Russo. So it was Mad Dog talking to Mad Dog. And you could just tell. And Mad Dog Russo is, you know, to be cliche, they broke the mold after he was done. The way he does radio, the way he does TV, nobody else can do it. It's off-putting sometimes, but I don't even say that in a negative way. Like, I appreciate him. And he was going back to game one of the Cardinals and the Phillies, and he had some questions. Just like many of you, Mad Dog Russo had some questions, and he had Mike Maddux on his show, so he was going to ask the questions. And the questions were connected to what happened with Ryan Helsley. And the questions were connected to the decision to pull Jose Quintana when they did. And I found Mike Maddux's answers to be very interesting. So let's play them for you. Which one should we do first? I'll ask Matt Pajeski. Do we want to hear about Helsley first or Quintana first? Helsley? All right. This is Mad Dog and Mad Dog talking about what happened in game one with Ryan Helsley.
Game one, Phillies. Marmol came out early. I thought maybe leave him in. And now bullpen, you used the closer an awful lot when he was wild. I'm sure you've thought about it a lot. This is the first I've had a chance to talk to you about it. Explain game one against Philadelphia, which is the key to the series, early in the game in that ninth inning. Go ahead. I'm interested.
Well, I think if, it goes back to what happened on, what was it, Tuesday? When Ryan Helsley went out there and threw against Pittsburgh, he got a little broken bat comebacker to him. He went down to break his fall and jammed his finger. So he come out of the game. And then on Wednesday, he was, sore but better. And then Thursday, we had a workout and we told him to take it easy. But everything was, all arrows pointed up that he was going to be fine. So he played his catch. He did a little light spinning of the ball. I took the ball away, said, no, if it feels this much better after 24 hours, the next 24 is going to feel really fine. So then Friday rolls around to game one. All the pregame stuff went well. Once again, I told him less is more on this thing, but he was really adamant about making sure that he was good. And after he did his full warm-up routine pregame, he was fine. He actually came into the eighth inning and got us out of that thing with a couple punch outs and or a couple outs, had a strikeout and got an out. So he was fine. Then he came in, strikes out Rhys Hoskins to start the inning. And then what happened after that? It was a base hit by Ramuto and a walk to Harper. At that point, he started spraying the ball. I get on the phone. I missed a couple pitches to Castellanos. And I wish I could have seen a couple of those pitches, but I was on the phone communicating with the bullpen. And then I did see the pitch to bomb, and that's where we went out there and it was tightened up on him and he was about, 20 some odd pitches deep. But, for the first 15 pitches, he had no issues. So we didn't look to see like anything was wrong because he was, throwing strikes with good stuff. He's still throwing 100 miles an hour and doing what he did all year. And he was so good for us all year. You knew that he was just going to get it done.
You're looking for the red flags and where are those red flags? And when you're being really fair about it, and I think it's important to be fair about it, they didn't come until they left him in, you can argue, for one too many hitters. Because he comes in the eighth inning, and he gets a strikeout, and he gets a pop out, and everything looks good. And then he comes in for the ninth inning. He strikes out Rhys Hoskins. That looks good. Gives up the hit to JT Romuto, but it was just it was a lucky hit. It was 70-something miles per hour off the bat. No reason to be worried there. He gets ahead in the count on Bryce Harper. Eventually works back a walk on Harper, but he was ahead in that count, and it's Bryce Harper. It's not until the Castellanos walk that red flags start to go up, and then you have the hit by pitch and the runner scoring, and then eventually you make the pitching change. Pallante comes in, and they have a 6-run ninth inning, and as we look back on it now, that almost essentially ended the Cardinals season right there, with them getting down 1-0 and then not being able to do much in game number two of the series. So the thing for me to take away from that is that he wishes he would have seen a couple of the pitches that were thrown to Nick Castellanos during the Castellanos walk. Because what I'm hearing there is that if he would have seen some of those pitches, maybe they would have gone out, had the conversation, talked about the finger. Because to me, I don't have any problem with the way the ninth inning was managed until they left him in after the Castellanos walk. They left him, for the people out there that said he should have been out of the game after the Ramuto hit, or he should have been out of the game after the Harper hit, I would respectfully disagree with that take. He should have come out after the Castellanos walk, and Maddox saying that he was on the bullpen phone and he didn't see a couple of those pitches. All right, let's get to Jose Quintana, because Quintana was absolutely dealing in that game. He looked really good, ends up going 5 1/3 innings, ends up from a pitch count perspective, Quintana throws 75 pitches. So Mad Dog Russo had some questions about why did Quintana come out of the game.
All right, Quintana there in his 72 pitches in the top of the sixth. He was going great. You guys took him out a little early, I thought. Explain. Go ahead.
Oh, we had it kind of scripted out that if we could get to a certain part of the lineup, we had it all drummed down. We said, the tough part here is going to be when Quintana goes out there and he just lights out. I said, well, we got to stay disciplined in what we're doing. I think if you looked at Hoskins and he's got a huge righty-lefty split. You know, he's a lefty killer. And he had gotten him out a couple times, and we just figured that was a time to bring in a right-hander, especially in Jordan Hicks, who's definitely going to keep the ball in the ballpark, and he could face those guys. And he did. You know, he came in, he ended up, he got the outs. All right, so he finishes the sixth, and then we go out in the seventh, and we throw up the donut there, and we throw up the donut in the eighth inning, and it came down to the ninth. So, you know, whether we took Quintana out too early or too late, it water under the bridge, because we got to our guy in the ninth inning with a 2-run lead the way we wanted. So I think all moves were fine.
So that was his take on Jose Quintana. And there's a lot of people out there who believe Quintana was taken out early. I wasn't one of those people. I would not have had a problem if they would have allowed him to try to stay in to get the next two outs of the sixth inning. If you remember, he goes 5 1/3. But this is baseball today, and there's always people out there that are going to say they don't like the way baseball is managed today, and you need to have more of an old school takeaway. If you don't use the data that's available to you, then more often than not, you're going to get it wrong. You should use data to help guide decisions. There's nothing wrong with that. It would be crazy not to use the data. So they knew about that Phillies lineup, and they knew what the Phillies lineup does a third time through. And they know what certain individuals in that Phillies lineup would do specifically against left-handed pitchers. And that's what Jose Quintana is. So they had made the decision that they were going to take him out at that point, if they got to the point, pretty much no matter what it looked like. And in hindsight, the optics of it don't look great because of what happened in the ninth inning, but I would rather see a baseball team have a plan and stick with that plan almost no matter what is going on. And the bummer about all this, when you use information to try to help you make decisions, is we never really know what would have happened had you made the other decision. That's the part of this. That's because if they leave Quintana in that spot, and then all of a sudden the Phillies lineup starts to go off, if Rhys Hoskins hits a home run, and if those things happen, then you're sitting here going, well, why did you even let him face him? You know what the Phillies lineup does a third time through. You know what that guy does against lefties. You were just playing with fire. So it's a no-win situation, and that's why the best plan of action is to look at the data, look at the trends, and allow that information to help you make decisions. And that's exactly what the Cardinals did, and we would not be talking about Quintana getting pulled when he did if not for what happened with Ryan Helsley in the ninth inning. But yeah, I thought that was incredibly interesting to hear what Mike Maddux had to say on MLB Network. Credit goes to MLB Network for that audio, but that was really interesting, I thought, what he had to say about the way things went down in game number one. All right, when we come back, we'll talk some Missouri basketball. They get an absolutely ginormous victory against Wichita State yesterday. They stay undefeated. Ben Arnett, the sports director at KOMU-TV in Columbia, he joins us next. This is Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Swing it along with the left. That's a grand slam.
You bet. This is Sports Open Line.
Billikens win.
On America's Sports Voice.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
KMOX.
Sports Open Line does continue. It was quite the victory for Missouri basketball last night. They go to Wichita and get a win in overtime over Wichita State, 88-84. To talk about that and more, we're very happy to welcome on the sports director at KOMU-TV in Columbia. You also occasionally see him doing play-by-play of Missouri games on SEC Network Plus. He is Ben Arnett. You can follow him on Twitter at Ben Arnett, A-R-N-E-T-K-O-M-U. Ben, thanks so much for your time. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am good. All along, I said about this Missouri basketball team that we weren't really going to learn anything about them until they finally got into this month where they were going to play Wichita State, play Kansas, and play Illinois. So they play the first of those three games yesterday. They get an overtime win. Now I feel like this team is starting to feel legit. What say you?
I think they passed the first test. If you look up and you're 8-0, that means you're doing a lot of things right. You look at the record, Wichita State is not the same program that they've had in years past, but that is a really tough place to play. And they play a really tough game. I mean, I know that the Shockers have been in the American Conference for a while now, but they can still play some good old-fashioned Missouri Valley Conference rock fight basketball. And that's what Missouri found themselves in at times last night. And they tough through it. And, you know, on top of that, with last night's game in mind, if you told Missouri fans at the beginning of the season that they were going to be heading towards the first week of December, undefeated 8-0 with a road win at Wichita State, and in two of those eight wins, Isaiah Mosley, the transfer from Missouri State, would not play at all, they would take that deal. This team has shown that they're pretty deep. When they get hot, they can shoot the basketball pretty well. And the thing that impressed me the most in this eight-game stretch, particularly about some of these newcomers that Dennis Gates brought in, is they never lag defensively ever. And getting as up close a look at them as I got in doing five of these first eight games on television, being right there courtside, that's the thing that has impressed me the most, is when you look in the eyes of players like Sean East, Noah Carter, Demoy Hodge, Nick Honor, these names of players that fans have gotten familiar with over the last month and a half, the defensive intensity never slows, and Missouri's going to need that.
He brought in some of his own guys, so it's not like everybody was completely starting at zero with him, but most of the guys, this is their first chance to play for him, and it has come together, I think, quicker than most people expected to. Can you just speak to the job that Gates has done on the offseason, putting together this team, and then getting them to play at a pretty high level here through the first month and a half of the season?
He's very clear and unambiguous with his players about what he expects overall and what he expects individually. I think it was a smart move to bring in some of the guys that he was familiar with, coaching them directly one-on-one. And most people think of those two Cleveland State guys that won Horizon League Defensive Player of the Year, and Trey Gomillion and Demoy Hodge. But he also brought in a guy in DeAndre Golston, who made the point last week after they won their seventh game. You know, he played against Dennis Gates' teams in the Horizon League at UW-Milwaukee. So Dennis Gates got to watch him averaging 15 points a game for one of their chief competitors. But DeAndre Golston also got to see Dennis Gates coach teams and say, I want to go play for that guy. And so he came in knowing what the expectation was and how he was going to play. If you're wondering why DeAndre Golston's been in the starting lineup every single game, that's a reason why. He's also brought in guys like, you know, Noah Carter, who you saw last night have 20 points and 8 rebounds, and that was the second time that he's led Missouri in scoring since coming over from Northern Iowa, who are really, you know, passionate about the opportunity to play in the SEC and play a higher level of basketball, and play some games like they're going to see coming up against Kansas and Illinois, as you mentioned. And he's been very clear with everybody about how he wants roles to come into shape. And the expectation of, one, playing hard defensively all the time, and two, sharing the basketball. Last night, Missouri had 14 assists as a team. It was the first time all season they had less than 20 assists as a group, and they were the only team in America to have 20-plus assists in every game they played before last night's win against Wichita State. They're sharing the basketball, and they seem to care about each other a lot, and they seem to care about playing the game the way Dennis Gates wants them to.
The clip went borderline viral last night of him talking about Isaiah Mosley. He hasn't played, and he made it very clear that Mosley has not done anything from a, there's no actions that he's done. He's not in trouble. That's why he's not playing. There's just personal reasons going on. I don't even know what question I want to ask you here, but there's a reason that that clip kind of went viral last night, because you don't see a coach kind of say that about one of his guys too often. There was something just sort of refreshing about the way he talked about him.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I had somebody tweet at me that they really liked that clip, because it showed that Dennis Gates cares about a player of his who's obviously going through something, we're not sure what, but understanding that, you know, he might need to take a night off. You know, Isaiah Mosley is a story that's going to keep going on. People are interested in Isaiah Mosley. He's from here. You know, he won a state championship in this city as a high school basketball player. He had teammates that went on to bigger and more prestigious programs than Missouri State, but he went down to Mo State and kind of showed everybody with, you know, being one of the most prolific scorers in the country the last couple of years, and it's been a homecoming for him. He missed another game earlier this season where Dennis Gates was, again, straightforward with both Isaiah and the media, saying, yeah, that was a DNP coach's decision. Because they're trying to get Isaiah Mosley to play a different game on the court. And Isaiah Mosley has been straightforward the couple of times he's talked to journalists and media members here that he's learning that. You know, he can't be the same guy that he was at Missouri State, trying to average 20 points a game and playing a lot of ISO offensive basketball the way he did down there. It's not going to work in the SEC. It's not going to work against Kansas. It's not going to work against Illinois. And it's a process. Doesn't sound like last night has anything to do with that. Sounds like it was purely something personal and not connected to basketball. But I do agree with you. I mean, a lot of folks have liked the approach that Dennis Gates has brought in general as he's come in as the new head coach of this program.
Ben Arnett from KOMU TV in Columbia continuing to join us. At some point, they're going to hit some sort of wall. At some point, they're going to lose some games. You look at their schedule, 4 of their next 6 games are against teams that are in the top 25 right now in Kansas, Illinois, Kentucky, and Arkansas. They'll play a future Big 12 team in Central Florida. They'll play a Southeast Missouri State team that had a big win earlier this year as well. But what should Tiger fans maybe expect as this team does get into that part of the schedule where they're going to be playing legit top 25 teams fairly often?
Yeah, again, you get to play Arkansas twice, and Arkansas is legit for anybody that hasn't watched the Hogs. And, of course, it's, you know, we keep talking about Kansas and Illinois coming this month, but, you know, they open conference play against Kentucky, which is nobody wants to see that as their first game on their SEC schedule. Someone has to have it. You know, I feel like this is a team. I agree with my friend Jarrett Sutton, who, you know, I've done games with on TV for 9 years now, was a Missouri guard back on the Mike Anderson teams. I think this is a team that wants to keep getting better every single week and be in the conversation to be on the bubble for the NCAA tournament come late February. I think it's a team that needs to focus on having an upward trajectory. Don't get bogged down if things don't go as well as they'd like against Kansas or Illinois. Those are two of the best teams in the country. I mean, Illinois is quite likely going to be a top 10 team if something strange doesn't happen between now and December 22nd. That's going to be a really tough squad, and we all know what that environment is like downtown at the Enterprise Center. I think it's a team that, again, needs to continue that upward trajectory, continue its focus on sharing the basketball and playing good, solid defense, never allowing the defensive effort to wane, as we've seen. I think they've learned a lot, and that's what Dennis Gates is most happy with. He commented after the game last night, that he felt like the lessons learned through some of the rough patches they had the first three or four games of the season, where they just kind of hung on against Southern Indiana, where they just barely hung on against Penn in the second game of the season. Those lessons learned is what allowed them to win a tough game on the road last night in Wichita. Keep doing that kind of stuff, and this team can be in the conversation for an NCAA tournament bid, perhaps earned as an outright as they head to the SEC tournament, or feeling like this is a team that can make some noise at the SEC tournament and maybe earn that automatic bid. That's the trajectory that I think most Missouri fans would like to see this team take over the next 3 months.
Last thing for you before we get you out of here, Missouri football, it's certainly been a bit of a roller coaster over the last week. They get bowl eligible. They find out Luther Burden's going to be sticking around. That's the good news. The bad news, they lose Dominic Lovett. He heads to the transfer portal. A couple other players enter the transfer portal as well. What's your overall takeaway of where this program is with the accomplishment of being a bowl team, and they'd win four of their last six to get there? Nobody thought that was going to happen going into those final six games, but you're still in a situation where you're losing a top player off this roster.
Yeah, and I think it's important to remember that going in the transfer portal doesn't necessarily mean somebody is gone. I think you're going to see more of this, where players who have a season that is better than maybe people outside of their own building expect, you can't really blame them for testing the water, so to speak, putting their name out there and seeing what happens. I agree with you. It's tough right now for a mid-level program like a Missouri to sustain the kind of momentum like they built the second half of the season when you hit the month of December and there's so many unknowns. You have the transfer portal. You have early signing day coming up at the end of the month, and then you have a bowl game, and who knows what direction that goes. I think this staff has proven in the last year that they might lose some guys in the portal, but they're pretty good at recruiting the rest of college football and getting players that were difference makers this year for the Tigers, like a Tyron Hopper, like a Joseph Charleston, and others down the list. Cody Schrader, who they got, found out of Division II. It's a roller coaster month, as usual. The same caveat as the old days of college football. Don't put too much stock in the results of a bowl game. The most important thing for a program like Missouri during this month is to practice well. And if you're going to lose guys in the portal, have that next man up mentality in practice with those extra practices that they're going to get in preparation for a bowl game. And then take a look at things whenever the new year starts and figure out how to attack the portal from the other side. What can you get out of there? What are your holes? What are your needs? And focus on the guys who are staying, carrying the momentum they built individually forward into next year and whenever you hit spring football. And of course, the big man from the Gateway City has already said he's coming back next year, and that's probably the most important thing for Tiger fans to hear right now.
Yeah, absolutely. He is Ben Arnett, sports director at KOMU in Columbia. Also, you see him on SEC Network Plus broadcasting at Missouri games. Ben, thank you so much for this time. Hopefully we can catch up with you every once in a while.
Absolutely, anytime.
All right, very good. There's Ben Arnett joining us here on Sports Open Line. When we return, there was an unfortunate comment made by a broadcaster during a hockey game, but the target of that comment, if that's the right term here, did something kind of cool in response to it. We'll explain the whole story. We'll do that next. This is Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Your home of the Cardinals.
Arenado swings and hits it deep to left field. That ball is out of here.
The Billikens.
Jumper. Yes! Billikens win!
The Chiefs.
Touchdown! Kansas City!
We are America's sports voice. KMOX.
Sports Open Line does continue here on KMOX. My thanks to Ben Arnett, who joined us on the Quiver River guest line in the last segment. If you ever miss any of our interviews, you can always find them on the podcast. You just head to KMOX.com, or you head to the Odyssey app. You find the Sports Open Line podcast, and everything we do is archived and podcasted for you. So no matter who is joining us on the Quiver River guest line, we always got you taken care of. This story's blown up a little bit, and it involves a St. Louisan in Pat Maroon, who is now a member of the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Lightning were matched up against the Boston Bruins. And let me say this. I'm going to put a little disclaimer on this. One of the things I hate doing the most is when I have to be critical of other broadcasters. I don't like it. It's just not something that I enjoy doing. And I try to avoid situations where I have to be critical of other broadcasters, because we all do things our own way for a reason. And sometimes you like what we're doing, sometimes you don't like what you're doing, and you've always got options about who you want to listen to. So I am not one to criticize other broadcasters. That being said, one of the TV broadcasters, actually two TV broadcasters on NESN for the Boston Bruins, decided they were going to talk about Tampa Bay Lightning forward and St. Louis native Pat Maroon, and specifically about his weight.
Listed at 238 pounds. That was day one of training camp. I got a feeling he's had a few more pizzas between then and now.
Yeah, that's before pregame.
Yeah, right. Fasting. Chris, inadvertent fasting for Pat Maroon is like 4 hours without a meal. But hey, three cups in a row, who can argue with his formula?
All right, so in case you missed, that audio wasn't great. So what, just in case you couldn't totally hear it, what Edwards and his color analyst Andy Brickley said was, Maroon is listed 238 pounds. That was day one of training camp. I've got a feeling he's had a few more pizzas between then and now. Fasting, inadvertent fasting for Pat Maroon is like 4 hours without a meal. But hey, he's won three Stanley Cups in a row. Who can argue with his formula? He's taken a lot. The broadcasters have taken a ton of criticism for that. And Pat Maroon did something awesome, by the way, that you could not have responded to this any better than what Maroon did. He posted on social media, in support of those struggling with mental health, bullying, and body image, I am making a $2,000 donation in the name of Jack Edwards. So the broadcaster said that. In the name of Jack Edwards to Tampa Bay Thrives, and I encourage the Tampa Bay Lightning and NHL fans to join me here, donate here, and then there's a link, tampabaylightning.com/donate. Tampa Bay Thrives, that is a charitable organization assisting those struggling with mental health and substance use issues by providing navigation, access, and awareness. So here's where we get like kind of into some murky waters on this, because when like hockey culture and just sports culture and guys being guys, like you rib each other and you have fun. I'm sure, you know, Maroon's a big dude. I'm sure he gets ribbed about his size sometimes, and it's all in good fun. It just, if this was all in good fun, it did not come across that way. It came across very mean-spirited, like a couple guys making fun of somebody's weight. And I don't think Maroon is too bothered by it, but it just it did not come off well whatsoever. And it just reminds you that you need to watch what you say. Some people are more sensitive to that topic than others, and you listen to that, and I don't, maybe I'm alone. I'm not alone on this, but maybe you don't agree. It's just cringy. It's just cringy. You hear Edwards, he's trying to have fun. Like, I don't think it was a mean-spirited thing, but he comes across mean-spirited, if that makes any sense whatsoever. I don't think he was trying to be an a-hole, but I think he came across as one. And that's where you got to be careful. The bigger story here is the response by Pat Maroon. That was pretty darn cool.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. baseball your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.